Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. I have an exciting topic today, one we typically don't get into, but we're going to look at what we can do with GPS and monitoring our athletes and understanding better what their physical demands are. And joining me today on the podcast is the Director of Emerging Markets from Catapult Sports, DJ Callender. DJ, it's great to have you here.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for having me on. Really excited to be here.
I think 4 or 5 years ago, maybe people wouldn't have had any idea what we were talking about here. This is something that has quickly come into the consciousness of coaches that there are these devices out there, wearables, that can help them understand their athletes better. But why don't you give us just a brief overview of exactly what Catapult Sports is and how you guys got started?
Yeah, so Keith, I think when coaches or anyone really hears GPS, they think that thing in their car or on their phone that helps them get from point A to point B. And I guess to kind of tie that back to Catapult, we started in Australia in the early 2000s, and our founders basically said, you know what, we can utilize this technology, the GPS satellite connection, in addition to some of the different hardware components within the device, to really quantify and understand how hard athletes are working in practices and games. And that information can then be used to keep athletes healthy, to plan out practices, to understand game demands, to evaluate players, and a whole other variety of applications depending on the sport and depending on the use for the coach and the athletes. But Catapult quickly, you know, with that technology, we were first to market, quickly took over the elite level of sport, came over to the U.S. and started working with pretty much every pro sports league and a number of teams within each league. I think, in fact, today we're north of 15 NFL teams that we call clients and that use our technology. And a couple of years ago, Catapult said, you know what, this is an awesome system, and the information and data that these teams get is super beneficial for their athletes. How can we democratize this a bit and open it up? And so found a company called Player Tech, which was started in Ireland, and brought them into the Catapult family because basically the way that their software presented was super plug and play, easy to use for coaches, really spoke to the everyday coach and allowed them to get tangible, quick insights from the performance data. And so that Player Tech system being a bit easier to use and interpret and being more affordable has really allowed us to take this technology and open it up over the past few years to, you know, smaller collegiate programs, high school programs, and youth teams, and so on and so forth. But that's kind of, I guess, the 2-minute story of Catapult and how we got to where we are today, and then that Player Tech product that I'm sure we'll touch on a bit in the conversation today.
I definitely want to get into the workflow of this a little bit later, but I think what's interesting to me and what this product can do, what this tool can do for a coach, is really help you understand where your players are physically. I know we've given them the eyeball test quite a bit and say, oh, you know, we need to lay off their legs today. Or it's, hey, it's, you know, week 7, week 8, maybe we need to taper back. And we do that kind of, I guess, instinctually by how we understand a season works, but also by just monitoring where our players are. And we have a lot of theories on that too as coaches. I know a big one right now is that, well, I run an up-tempo practice format, so we actually don't condition anymore. How does this, I guess, take all that guesswork out for the coaches? And really, I think ultimately, if we're going to adopt a tool, certainly our player safety and health is at the forefront of everything. But I think we also want a tool that, in addition to that, is going to help us win. How does this tool do that?
You hit the nail on the head with kind of what you said about the eye test. I mean, prior to technologies like this existing, it's pretty much down to, you know, what the coach innately felt about a practice or a game. And that's still a massive component of coaching. And what we always say is, this is just another tool in your toolbox as a coach. It's not meant to replace what you do or your views on the game or how hard athletes are working, but it's just another reference point for you to use. And I think the benefit of it is it adds a layer of objectivity to the coaching, because it's one thing to pull a guy aside and say, hey, you're not working hard enough, you're dogging it. But it's another thing to say, you know what, in practice last night, we tracked 30 athletes, and you were number 28 or 29 out of 30 in top speed or in total distance covered or in your player load, you know, which is kind of your overall exertion. So I think that ability to take the hard data, so to speak, and use that to provide objective feedback is massive for coaches. And then also, you know, really taking it to the next level, saying, okay, how can we use this to make sure our guys are performing at their best and they're peaking as we head into a game, a Friday night game or a Saturday morning game? I want to make sure guys are fresh, ready to perform, and having an understanding of what practice looks like the days leading into that is going to give you that edge heading into the game.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing, especially in terms of the season wearing on. But even, you know, let's start at the beginning of the season. I know various states have taken different measures at how many practices they're going to have, but traditionally it's been the two a day, and you're going to have practice upon practice every day, 6 days a week, going through there. That I've always thought that there's that chance that you're going to wear your players down before you even hit the season there. How has this been able to, with the schools you have, the high schools you have, how's this been able to help them, I guess, create a better preseason camp leading up to the season?
Yeah, good question. So I think looking at the days of 2 and 3 days and running guys into the ground and it's 100 degrees out and minimal water breaks, I think as a society, as a sport, we're slowly moving beyond that. And everyone has their opinions on whether we should or shouldn't. But at the end of the day, we want to keep athletes healthy. And, you know, I go back to, it's tough to manage something if you're not monitoring it. And it's tough to really drive change or affect change if you don't understand the facts and the baseline of what you're trying to change. So like in that context of preseason, tracking guys in those first few days, even as you're putting them through fitness tests and you're starting to get your conditioning work in and getting guys back ready for the season, if you have kind of a baseline, it's really easy to then manage and monitor from there as you progress into the season and say, well, here's how we looked on day one. How do we look on day 30? How do we look on day 60, day 90, et cetera? Are we improving? Are we plateauing in any of these different areas? So yeah, I think it just really gives coaches that tool that allows them to understand what the baselines are and then start to drive change from there as they progress into the start of the season.
From that standpoint, looking at the trend that I mentioned, that a lot of teams now say, well, you know, we're up tempo in the way we operate. We run a really high tempo format and practice. We're moving from drill to drill. We don't have a lot of downtime. We don't have a lot of guys standing in lines. Have you guys been able to find any data that supports that the players are getting conditioned that way, or I guess on the other side of it, that they're getting overtrained?
At Catapult, we have an in-house sports science team that works with all of our teams that use our technology, which I think is an awesome kind of, call it an extra arm of their organization, so to speak, when we consult with them and help them get the most out of the information they're seeing. And so I hear stories from the sports science team all the time about interventions that we were able to make based on the data we were seeing that really helped teams make massive changes to either their practice planning or injuries. You know, I think, you know, kind of a small anecdote, if you look at Jimbo Fisher when he was down at Florida State, he invested in Catapult, was one of our early adopters there in the collegiate football space. And I think the year leading prior to their national title, they had X number of soft tissue injuries. I can't remember what it was, if it was 7 or 10 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And then the next year they brought that down to a much more manageable number. You know, they only lost one or two guys and won the national title. And Coach Fisher was pretty much bought in and has been an evangelist ever since. So I think, yeah, making those changes and making those interventions to ultimately keep players healthy and ultimately train smarter, not just harder, is a massive advantage when you have something like this at your disposal.
I know the other trend I've seen, and I've had a number of coaches actually talk about this on the podcast, and one that really comes to mind would be Noel Mazzoni, who's the offensive coordinator at Arizona. And he talked about a format that he learned from Chip Kelly, and he calls it Fast Fridays. I'm not quite sure if Chip called it the same thing, but that's what Noel calls it at Arizona and the places he's been in. Basically, what Fast Friday is, in terms of the college, this was typically what would be their Thursday practice. They've shifted it to Friday, to the day before the game. And on Thursday now, they actually lighten up on the physical part. They're out there, I think he said on the podcast, in basically in shorts and t-shirts, doing their typical Friday walkthrough now, and they flip those days. So for the high school coach, this would work as basically Wednesday and Thursday would flip for you. And the whole idea behind it is that Noel equated it to racehorses, that, you know, you don't take a racehorse and the day before the race not do anything with it and just shut them down, that you actually shut them down a little bit before that and ramp it up. So I don't know if that's the scientific part or just the anecdotal part, but what have you found with that idea? Is that supported, and is that a good practice? Or I guess, again, relating back to the tool, is that something you can monitor and figure out with your team?
Yeah, it's a really interesting kind of perspective and anecdote. And Chip, obviously, how progressive he is, has used Catapult. Oregon football is a Catapult client, so is UCLA. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to, you know, and if any of your listeners, Keith, come from kind of that performance, strength and conditioning background, one of the hot button topics is periodization. And basically that would be looking at your practices over the course of a week, over the course of a month, over the course of a season, and then trying to build in a cadence or a tempo that ensures your athletes aren't overtraining and they aren't undertraining. And I think that topic of periodization, depending on who you ask and how the cycles are put together and the time of the season, can really vary from team to team, from sport to sport, from level of sport. College may look different than high school, et cetera. But just having that understanding of how guys are trending throughout a week or throughout a month so that they're at their best when their best is needed, whether that's the game, whether that's playoffs, whether that's a bowl game, whatever that ultimate goal is, I think having this ability to monitor and understand these baselines, understand what the output actually looks like, and then start to build out the plan and be a bit smarter and more intentional with your approach is the ultimate goal.
And when you look at the training loads, the periodization, I think that's where, and I mentioned it before, you know, we've either kind of by tradition or by what we have a feel for as coaches and watching our team, have this idea that we're going to scale back as the season goes on. And some of that's time, some of that's the reps, whatever it might be. How does that, the tool, the Catapult Sports applications, how does it help you figure that out as to when it might be time to start scaling back and making sure that you don't scale back too much?
Yeah, good question. So basically the combination of wearing the device on a consistent basis, so the guys are wearing the pods in practice, in games, and then using the software system that we provide effectively, and we've designed it to be really intuitive so that it has built-in kind of alerts and red flags to basically show you, hey, this athlete has exceeded maybe his what we've called his gain value or his peak output X number of days in a row. Maybe that's a sign that you should dial it back a little bit, either in practice the next day, or if it was a game, build in a little bit longer of a recovery window. So I think that our software had made it really intuitive and easy to do that for coaching staff. And then as far as kind of how they build out their plans accordingly, like I said, it comes back to, okay, what time of year are we in? What's our game schedule? How close together are the games? How do we want to practice throughout the week? We have examples of teams going, okay, on a Monday, I want to get up to, you know, maybe 60, 70% of our peak output. On a Tuesday, I'm going to bump that up to 80, 90, and I'm going to stay there maybe on Tuesday, Wednesday, never really quite get to that 100%, or maybe I get there on rare occasions, and then start kind of trending back downwards towards the end of the week as you head into game time, and so that you're not overexerting and athletes aren't fatigued as they head into games. Rather, they're fresh and they're primed to perform, so to speak.
Well, I know for everybody, coaches, especially at the high school and even small college level, we wear a lot of hats, and the demands on our time just seem to become greater and greater. What's the workflow like this? Because I'm sure coaches want something that's going to be simple, that's not going to take up their time, but again, is going to provide the benefits. If they are going to use it, they're going to see those benefits.
Yep, great question. So the workflow in its most simple form is essentially you have a pod and you have a vest. And some teams will go with vests, some teams will have a pouch on the shoulder pads, but essentially that's what holds the pod. So guys will wear the vest during practice, during games. Basically the workflow is you turn the pod on, put it in the back of the vest, collect them after the practice, collect them after the game, upload the data, which is a pretty simple, pretty quick process, you know, 5 to 10 minute time commitment in most cases. And then really the amount of work on the back end is up to you as a staff in terms of how much time you want to invest looking at the information. And that varies quite a bit from coach to coach. As you mentioned, everyone is time constrained. Everyone is staffing constrained and resource constrained. So we've done our best to make it intuitive and easy to use. But at the same time, some coaches will say, you know what, based on where we're at, I'm just going to focus in on a couple metrics. So for example, I'm going to look at number of impacts or collisions that an athlete had. I'm going to look at their player load, which is that kind of total exertion reading, how hard are guys working. And I'm going to look at sprint distance, you know, high speed running, because that's a good indicator of how intense and how demanding a session was. So I'm going to look at collisions, I'm going to look at player load, I'm going to look at sprint distance, and I'm just going to use those few data points to start to have an understanding of the output and of how hard my guys are working. And you know what, once I have that down and once I've used that to really, you know, drive some change and really understand demands, really practice and prepare a bit smarter, then maybe I add in a couple more data points, a couple more metrics. So the workflow is simple. It's all about the application and how much you want to take on. And there's no wrong or right answer. It's based on your program and your staffing setup. Like I said, we've done our best to make it easy to use. And then at the same time, Catapult has an in-house team of sports scientists that can work with programs to make sure they get the most out of the technology. So we really look at teams we support as partners, and we try to make it as collaborative as possible.
I guess I learned something here today. I didn't realize that you guys could monitor the impacts. I'd like to dig into that a little bit more, because we see that all the time now. The game being under attack, we see legislators trying to limit either when kids can start playing or how much they're playing when they're in high school, how much they're practicing, what the contact periods are. From that standpoint and that metric, how does this measure the impact? And then what kind of data is it giving to me?
Yeah, good question. So impacts, as we interpret them, are actually pulled from what's called the accelerometer within the unit, within the device. So an accelerometer is a small little instrument that tracks all of the micro movements and all of the accelerations and decelerations of an athlete. And that accelerometer can give you a reading of the total number of collisions based on a certain G-force threshold. So without putting your audience to sleep, it's basically saying, hey, anytime there's a forceful collision, I want that pod to tell me that was one impact or one collision. So you can pull up the software and say, hey, I tracked 20 athletes last night in practice. We had 17 impacts on average, but Johnny, my linebacker, had 47. Or Mikey, my DB, had 4. Why the discrepancy? Were they working hard? Were they not working hard? Was it not as physical of a session? Did they sit out for a portion of it? You know, so you can start to really add context as you compare players and look at previous sessions to see how athletes are trending and whatnot. But that impact reading is a great understanding of physical demands. And like I said, it pulls from that accelerometer within the unit. So it's actually one of the couple of metrics that we offer that's not tied to GPS or satellite.
I'm wondering if the data, and let's say it's a data point with an impact, are those time-stamped at all in a way that a coach could maybe pinpoint times in practice, periods of practice, let's say between individual group and team periods, that maybe some of those impacts are occurring somewhere maybe they didn't expect?
Yep, good question. We have what's called a 5-minute breakdown in the software. So you can pull up the practice and say, all right, we did a 60 or 70 minute practice. I'm going to look at 5-minute time bands, and I'm going to look at each metric just on a 5-minute split. So from 10 to 15 minutes, how many impacts were there? From minute 15 to 20, how many impacts? And you could do the same thing for top speed and say, hey, what was our top speed in the first 15, 20 minutes of practice versus like after coming out of a water break or after a fitness session? So you can drill down and get a bit more granular with the data, including that impact number. It probably wouldn't allow you to look at the second that an impact happened. If you wanted to do that, you could probably do that with video and kind of tag it accordingly, but it does allow you to get pretty granular.
Right. So if I was, because most coaches do segment by 5-minute periods, if I was working, let's say, a certain drill and maybe impact or the contact part of it wasn't the focus, but we find, hey, we had a lot of contact in this period, it allows us to really take maybe a look at that drill and adjust that.
Absolutely. We have coaches, you know, another anecdote, we have coaches that will look at just their warm-up and just look at the data from the warm-up and see how that compares to either the game as a whole or part of the game and say, wait, why are we having more impacts, or why is our load, our player load score, why is that higher in warm-ups than it was in the first quarter or in the second half or whatever subsection of that game or practice you want to look at? It does give you the ability to get that detail with it, and I think that's where the findings start to become really impactful, so to speak.
And I know we've been talking about practice. Do your teams, do your high school teams wear these in the games as well?
They do. Yep. I think that's one of the biggest advantages is saying, hey, let's track our games to understand when we're at our best, when our best is needed, what do we look like? How do we look? How do we perform across these different metrics? So that when you then bring it back to practice, it really becomes, okay, here's what we've seen from game demands. How can we practice intentionally? How can we design practice? How can we work smart so that we're achieving those game demands when we need to?
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you're able to do that. I know when I was at the college level at BW, my receivers coach, his name's Jamie Fleming, was really disciplined about how many reps his players could get in a game. And he would actually study them in practice. He would look at the practice film. He would get a real good feel for, and he's a track and field guy too, he would get a real good feel for, when does this guy start slowing down? When has he peaked as far as what the workload I could put on him? And how am I going to take those reps and divvy those up over the course of the game? So let's say we were averaging 65 reps a game as an offense, he might have his top receiver only take 42 of those reps. And there might be another guy who might be a first teamer but can only take 28. And he literally would keep track of those on the sideline. But he got to that point by having that, I guess, feel of a coach. Now this takes all the guesswork out for him.
Absolutely. And it's no different than looking at other sports. Like, okay, baseball, what's our pitch count? And starting to understand when we need to maybe pull athletes off the field or be careful about how we use athletes in specific situations based on what we're seeing and based on different metrics. And as I said earlier, you know, this is just meant to be another reference point, another tool in the toolbox so that you can work smarter and keep athletes healthy.
I know programs like St. X here in Ohio, Steve Specht, have used this for years. I would say probably a big question to our listeners would be the economics of this and how practical is it for their program. How do you answer that question? How much does a team have to lay out here in terms of an investment? And are there ways, I guess, to scale this? Do you have to go with someone like St. X and the amount they have? Do you have to be like Chip Kelly at UCLA who has it on every player? Or is there a way to start scaling this and being able to monitor maybe a set of players to help you understand your team better?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Keith. It ties back to kind of how I started the conversation in terms of when Catapult first came to market in the early 2000s and quickly took off at the elite level of sport. Those teams saw the value. They understood it. They have the staff. They have the budget. We as a company, we understood that not everyone is so fortunate. Not everyone's in that position. So that's why we went out and made that acquisition and brought the player tech product into the Catapult family, because we knew being easier to use and being more affordable, it would be really well suited for the collegiate market. Certainly D2, D3 colleges are starting to pick up on it. And then the high school space as well. And, you know, in terms of pricing, we have options across the spectrum. And I think a lot of teams will start based on what makes sense at that point in time for their budget, for their staff, for what they're looking to do. So it's pretty common for a team, for example, to start with 5-10 pods, start to get a baseline of information, start to use the technology, understand what metrics they want to track, start to understand what type of value it's adding for their team. And then once they're bought in, once they see the value, which is fairly common, I think, speaking from my perspective, teams will reach out and add more pods, and maybe then they grow up to 20, 30, 40 pods. And like I said, we have teams that start with 5, and we've had teams that have started with 40, 50. So it really comes back to budget. From a pricing perspective and from an investment perspective, you know, our base system, we have teams that get on board and full functionality, everything they need to do with 5, 10 pods for less than, call it, $2,500. They're all in. So these teams are paying that already to Huddle and other companies. So I really do think it, for the amount of value you can get, and if you frame it as keeping athletes healthy and providing objective feedback and coaching smarter and adding a level of professionalism to the program that is already being leveraged at the collegiate and pro level, that investment becomes pretty digestible for most of our clients.
And I don't necessarily want to dig into all the details of it, but let's say I was that team who was able to get 5 of these to start, you know, minimum level right here. How am I going to best utilize those 5 to be able to understand my whole team a little bit better?
Yep. Most teams that go that route will kind of take those 5 pods, take those 10 pods, and start to split them up with different positional groups from week to week or from month to month as they're starting to build out the initiative. So maybe it's offense for a couple weeks and then defense for a couple weeks. Or if you know you have guys that are high performers and you really wanted to understand what the actual output is from them, maybe coaches will pick 4 or 5 of their top athletes and start there and then switch them around based on kind of the different athletes that they want to see data on or they want to see what the workload is. But like I said, that approach of offense, defense, special teams seems to be fairly common.
DJ, I'm sure you're like me, being close to the game, that you read all the reports in the media. You know, some would say the game's under attack in a lot of ways because of those reports. But again, the player safety issues coming to the forefront here. How does your product, I guess, start to maybe eliminate some of those questions or help a program maybe that has seen numbers dwindle a little bit when they're implementing this to say, you know, we're on top of this. We understand our players' health better. How important is it right now, I guess, that coaches start really looking at having these tools?
I think your audience is obviously tuned into that as well, Keith. I think it's an important question. And I think part of our partnership with USA Football involves using some of these units across the country within kind of that football development program within that model of starting to understand what the actual demands are at different stages of the game. And like I said, if you can't manage something if you don't measure it. And so I think having a baseline and having an understanding of performance and safety and output and how hard athletes are working is the first step of the equation. And then from there, you can kind of make implementations and you can affect change based on that baseline that you have. But without the baseline, it's really hard to do. So go back to that impact, G-force reading, go back to player load, you know, our total player performance number and output number. I think there's ways to use these metrics to design safer practices, to design a smarter training schedule, to reduce soft tissue injuries, to understand collisions and impacts. So I think it's certainly a step in the right direction, and it's just a piece of the puzzle. And I think it's absolutely better than doing nothing. But, you know, I think at the same time too, a lot of times the teams we work with, it seems like the athletes are the ones that want to see their information, see their data more than anyone else. It's, coach, what was my top speed last night? Coach, how many sprints did I do? You know, you'll see guys running at the end of practice, seeing who can get a faster sprint in. So I do think there's kind of that collective buy-in and that shift towards wanting to see the numbers, wanting to see the information.
Yeah, I love that aspect of it. Anecdotally, have coaches talked to you about how it's raised the standard for their program or gave them more buy-in in their culture or whatever it might be in terms of, again, bringing a team together?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we have high schools across the country. You mentioned Coach Speck. They've been doing this for a few years at St. X, and there's programs across the board. Coach Shakir, give a shout-out to him down at Manatee in Florida. They use our player tech system and talk with those guys all the time about their feedback and their thoughts. And obviously, you could say I'm biased or object to subjective viewpoint, but, you know, I think the feedback is overwhelmingly positive from coaches as well as athletes.
Yeah, I just had Coach Shakir on the podcast when we were at National Conference back in February, or I'm sorry, in February, I'm going to have to get him back on and talk to him about this and how it's working in his program. I'm really interested in this. I know as a coach, if I was if I had a team right now and was working with a group of kids, I would definitely be looking at this tool to bring into our program. We talk all the time about the analytics of the game, but I think we got to look at the analytics of our players as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it's awesome to see. I mean, we, as our company continues to grow, I mean, we just brought on a team, a high school team down in Charlotte, North Carolina. We just brought on another team in Michigan, and obviously have a lot of programs in Texas that use this in the high school football space. So it seems like there's no specific background or knowledge base or type of coach. I think people across the board are really starting to see the value here and are understanding the importance of it. So it's an exciting time.
DJ, we'll put all your contact info and links in our show notes, but why don't you share those with our listeners here right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website, probably one of the best places to go for just information about catapultsports.com. My email address, feel free to reach out, dj.calendar, C-A-L-L-E-N-D-E-R, at catapultsports.com. Always happy to hear from coaches, happy to jump on a call, happy to answer questions at any point.
And what I'll do is also, I think Twitter is such a great tool for professional development. I know Coach Shakir's on there. Maybe you could give us a few other guys who we could point our listeners to learn a little bit more about the applications in their different programs.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Coach Speck at St. Xavier, like I said, has been using the technology for a few years. I think would be happy to answer questions. We work with, as I mentioned, we just brought on Coach Brad Bowles and Providence High School down in Charlotte, North Carolina. He seems super hyped up about the technology, and I think it's going to be a great advocate for the team for us. Coach Wallace at Madison High School in Michigan, shout out to him. Their program just came on board. Coach Basil down at Flower Mound in Texas, you know, they've been using the technology for a couple of years. And I could go on and on, but always happy to make connections and to hook someone up with a current coach, current user for a secondary opinion, so you don't just have to hear it from us.
DJ, I really appreciate you taking the time and explaining and telling us about this great tool for coaching. And again, we'll put all the links in the show notes, but thanks again for your time, and we'll stay up to date with what's going on with Catapult Sports.
Awesome. Keith, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for having me on, and I look forward to being in touch.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.